Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Zach Pohl, the head of U.S. Healthcare Partnerships for Plug and Play. Good morning, Zach. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. That's a very long title. We'll get into what that has to do with. So, but to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, of course. So as you mentioned, Mark, right now I lead U.S. Healthcare Partnerships for Plug and Play. We are a venture capital firm, the most active venture capital firm in the world, and also partnered with over 400 large organizations. Previously, I was at Salesforce and Groupon after starting my own healthcare company. And I have two graduate degrees, one from the University of Pennsylvania and one from the University of Cambridge. And I'm very passionate about helping improve the lives of millions through their health. And I believe that advancing innovative technology in the healthcare space is the way to do that.
Wow, that's a great cause. So to start with, what has been your experience with remote employment, both as an employee and an employer? Since you've had your own company and you now.
Well, I've only worked remotely as an employee, and it's been interesting. There's been pros and cons. Mm-hmm. It's certainly an adjustment. And I think the biggest adjustment was learning that I can work even more hours. Because now I can go from waking up with my laptop next to me to putting it immediately on my lap and starting and working extremely hard. You know, I remember when the pandemic first hit, we'd already been working with the U.S. government for infectious disease outbreak control mitigation. Mm. And then COVID-19 hit. And so found ourselves just incredibly busy. There's certainly been some negatives. So I miss so many people in our office. I miss those daily interactions so much, and all of my coworkers. But there's been some amazing benefits as well. It's easier to be able to see family in between meetings. It's easier to have meetings with people that I couldn't have before without the time constraints of time zones or geography. So while it's been still a learning challenge, definitely some positives to take out of it.
And I know you're from the Bay Area, so I assume another big advantage is the lack of travel, because as you know, you can't get anywhere in the morning in less than an hour, right?
You cannot get anywhere in the morning in less than an hour. It's a benefit for myself, and it's also a benefit where we don't require that people fly all the way to the expensive Silicon Valley for meetings. So yes, it's a mutual benefit.
Yeah, $300 a night hotel rooms and all that stuff. I know what you mean. So what do you think is the future of remote employment, and what do you think can be done differently to make it more effective?
Yeah, you know, there's some interesting studies that have come out both from Gallup and Stanford. And there's really two main things. Number one, many employees prefer working from home, and they'd like to continue some kind of remote work option. I believe the number of people that were working remotely pre-pandemic was 5%, now it's hovering at about 20%. And we've now seen that employees are reporting that they are more productive than they have been, or at least a lot of them that do have the ability to work virtually. So in the future, I think what we're going to see, and we're seeing this with a lot of our startups, is hiring remotely, not having as much office space, more agile teams. So we really see from everywhere that we're looking that while we might not go completely back to what life was like pre-pandemic, we're also not going to go to what life is like now. It's going to be kind of a mix. And a lot of that's just going to depend on business preference, culture preference, and business needs.
Yes, no. And since we're talking about the pandemic, your company, I would think, has been affected by it. Why don't you tell us first what your company does, first Plug and Play, and then the healthcare partnership, and then we'll get into how it affected you.
Yeah, so from Plug and Play standpoint, we were quite worried at first. You know, we're such a relationship type business. We really care about our partners. But actually, let me step back. Let me talk about Plug and Play. Mm-hmm. So Plug and Play, there's really two columns to what we do. There's the venture capital side as well as the corporate innovation side. On the venture capital side, we are investing seed to Series A money into startups across 18 different industries. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate enough to have 13 unicorns now. We had customer acquired by Facebook for $1 billion. That was announced last week, but we were early investors in Dropbox, PayPal, Honey. Most people know Honey. And on the healthcare side, we are the most active digital healthcare investment firm in the world. 75 investments to date, 14 investments this year. Our one unicorn being Guardant Health. They made liquid biopsies possible. We put the first money into them. They're now in the NASDAQ with around an $8 billion valuation. On the other column is the corporate innovation side. We've partnered with over 400 large organizations to be able to help them be more innovative, help them find the best technology in the world and be able to utilize it. And on the healthcare side, that includes 36 healthcare organizations. There's hospital systems, including University Hospitals and Atrium Health, pharmaceutical companies. The five largest pharmaceutical companies in the world are all partners with Plug and Play Health. And then there's just a category for other, which includes the US government, NASA, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, et cetera. And we're running 60 accelerator programs across our 36 global locations. So we do a lot, but it's all funneled into how can we bring incredible innovation to the rest of the world.
Wow. That's I didn't know you guys are that big. That's that's quite a footprint.
Yes. I had no idea either, even when I started. It's quite an incredible company and we do some fascinating work.
So why don't we just concentrate on the U.S. healthcare partnership now? How did the coronavirus affect your day-to-day dealings with both your employees and your customers? I think they would be, or your partners.
It was a very unique situation for us because the U.S. government came to us, the team is the BARDA team under HHS, in September and said, we're going to partner with Plug and Play to find technology for if an infectious disease outbreak were to happen, how to mitigate it. And of course, COVID-19 falls under that. And so we had two things going on. Number one, how can we find technology across the world to be able to find a vaccine as well as prevent any effects that was happening at the same time working completely virtually for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so we were stuck in this kind of weird zone. And so our response was we were able to get up and running virtually incredibly quick. We used all of our digital resources, you know, including Zoom and email and Slack and all of that to communicate effectively. We set up, you know, daily templates for what we're doing every single day. We had more syncs to make sure that we were all in contact and reaching across business units. Because that's one thing that we were really good at in the office, but then we can't obviously do when we're not in the office. So making sure those were still happening. And then on the business side, it was how can we help our partners? So many people in healthcare, so many organizations really didn't know how to react. And they looked at Plug and Play to be that kind of beacon or thought leader in what companies should be doing to react to this pandemic. And so what we did was we hosted a global technology showcase, highlighting the most innovative technology across the globe, across industries, which ended up being our largest event ever, over 1800 attendees. And we set up monthly kind of private roundtables with all of our partners so that they could learn from each other best practices. What's been really interesting to see is how our partners have gone from reactive to proactive. Because in healthcare, the pandemic has accelerated the need for digital healthcare, remote patient monitoring, chronic care management, patient adherence, telehealth platforms, fantastic patient experiences, really taking what was happening inside of the hospital and then putting it into the home. And so by providing this thought leadership, these best practices, fostering collaboration, we've been able to, in healthcare, be able to help our partners go from reactive to proactive. I think the one thing that's really interesting to highlight is there's been some benefits because we've never been able to get such high level people into the room at the same time to be able to discuss these things. So we've actually seen an increase in knowledge sharing and best practice utilization throughout our partners.
Wow, fascinating. And just out of curiosity, since you brought up, we brought up the pandemic, have you actually funded any companies that have started just because of the pandemic, or are you looking at any?
So it's interesting.
You can talk about it.
So you know, we only want to invest in companies that have traction. They have some paying B2B partners, or at least a lot of traction in that B2C space. And the pandemic, I know it seems like about 9 years, but it's only been about 10 months, right? So we haven't invested in any companies that have started just solely because of the pandemic. Now, with that, we've had some of our investments pivot because of the pandemic. To highlight a really amazing example and a very classic Silicon Valley story, we had one of our batch companies, Live Now. They went through our batch nine last year. They're a mental health platform where they track everything passively through your phone to check for, you know, acute depression and then being able to intervene. So they're looking at every single metric that your phone is tracking about, you know, who you're close with, when you're close with them, all of these things. And in January, you know, things weren't looking that great for them. They were in kind of a struggle. And then the pandemic hit and they pivoted to be able to help employers track their employees during this tough time. And they've just done incredible work. Their clinical research study that went through Stanford showed amazing results in terms of what they were able to do and identify. And because of their successful pivot, because of the pandemic, they've done amazing jobs for employers. They now have about 4 to 5 large paying employers. They finished up their A round at around a $15 million valuation, and we were investors into them. So while we haven't invested in any companies that started because of the pandemic, we've certainly invested in companies that have taken a pivot that's benefited them because of the pandemic. And there's multiple different examples of that.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I could probably talk to you for hours about this stuff, but I actually want to thank you for your time today. It really has been great to talk to you. And I wish Plug and Play in your healthcare partnership all the luck in the world. And hopefully we'll get a cure for this shortly.
It's coming. Fortunately, because of the partners that we work with, we do know that it's coming and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.